Psalm 125. Psalm 125 is one of those songs of ascent, right? So this is a song and a psalm that they would sing, pilgrims would sing in their travels up to Jerusalem on the occasions of the feast days. And so you can imagine, you know, families and extended families and friends of those families gathering together in groups and marching out from their towns and villages and then gathering with other pilgrims in other towns and villages, and they're making their way up to Jerusalem. And you know, because we've talked about these Psalms of Ascent in the past, and you've heard this before, that this was often a dangerous pilgrimage, right? Because there were thieves, and robbers, and just all kinds of animals, all kinds of dangers that they would face on the way. And you can imagine the comfort it would be to fix your eyes in the distance, right? This distant picture of Jerusalem, right? Or Mount Zion. So they've got their eyes fixed up. It is an upward climb. And they're on a journey together. And they're singing together. And they are trusting the Lord together, because this could be an arduous journey. And I did want to point out that this psalm really does, like so many do, it fits this pattern that we have noted all along in our different times in the Psalter. And that is, you once again, you see what we saw in Psalm 1. There, you know, there's two kinds of people on two different paths, right? And there's the one on the righteous, and he's on the narrow way. He's on the path of righteousness. And then you've got, you know, you got the wicked person, and he's on a totally different path. He's on a totally different journey, and he's got a total different destination. And we see that. We'll see that unfold, you know, as we read through this psalm together. So those just really brief introductory remarks aside, let's go ahead and read Psalm 125 together. And those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hand to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are bright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So that's pretty clear, pretty easy to see, right? You've got these two different types of people. You've got the righteous and you've got the wicked. You've got the path of those who are on the path of peace. Peace be upon Israel. And you've got the destination of those who are on the crooked ways, the workers of iniquity. Two different paths. But what we do see is the Lord surrounds his people. It really is a beautiful promise. And so you can imagine, again, these pilgrims, as they make their way up to Jerusalem, they have their eyes fixed on the fixable, on Mount Zion, this beautiful mountain. I'm not sure if you've ever been to a large mountain. I've been to the Rockies, and it is breathtaking. And the closer you get, the more majestic it is, and it's just kind of awe-inspiring. And you can kind of see that sense here in Psalm 125. We see that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It's a pretty amazing statement. Mount Zion, which doesn't move, which doesn't change, which doesn't shift with the wind. The winds come, Mount Zion is still going to be there. Regimes come, regimes go. Kings come, kings go. Prophets come, prophets go. Times change, seasons change. Everything changes, weapons change. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. We're still trusting the Lord. So those who trust in the Lord the flavor of our life as we fix our eyes on Him is something like Mount Zion, meaning that we are like Psalm 1, that person that's planted by streams of water, and we're bearing fruit. Or the opposite, you might say, of those who, you know, they're vulnerable to every single wind of change, every philosophy, every ideology that comes by, they're constantly being blown. Or like James says, the double-minded man who is what? Unstable in all his ways. Those who trust the Lord are not unstable in all their ways. They are like Mount Zion. You can count on them. They're faithful and they're steadfast. They're like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And again, you see this picture in this analogy, you might say, in verse 2. There's something about this mountain and this city, Jerusalem, the structure of the city, that reminded them of the Lord's own relationship with His people. In fact, something about this mountain shows us about resting in our Savior Jesus, trusting in our blessed Savior Jesus, hoping in our blessed Savior Jesus. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Again, it's an analogy, so you've got the mountains surround the city, and so our Lord is saying that's what the Lord does for us. He surrounds us. It does teach us and remind us of our Savior. It is an overwhelming scene. Again, from a distance, they see the city of God, the mountains surround it. And it reminds us how the Lord surrounds us. It is a great gospel picture. It speaks here of the Lord's presence with us. Brethren, I want to remind you that the triune God holds you in the palm of His hands. Our Lord taught that. We saw in John 10. We're held in His hands. He says, we're held in my Father's hands. My Father and I are one. The triune God surrounds us like this beautiful city surrounded by these beautiful mountains. The Lord's presence is always with us. It might remind you of Romans 8, it does me. That's what I thought of when I reread this psalm. Thought of the great promises of Romans chapter 8. Here's Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things if God is for us? Who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He, not with Him also, freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, it is these precious truths that give us the stability that we need in our life. I want you to think about your life. How many people do you know they're always just being tossed? They're always changing, and they're always afraid, right? So 2 years ago, CNN had their death ticker, right? And they're watching CNN, and they think, when am I going to die of COVID-19? Just so many people are just, they live in a constant upheaval, in a fear cycle. And when you read promises like this, it takes us back thousands of years ago to a group of people You're walking up Mount Zion together, and there's jackals out there, and there's thieves out there, and they've got their eyes fixed on the mountain. And brethren, that's my encouragement to all of us tonight. Let us, by God's grace and power, fix our eyes on Christ, the rock of our salvation, our surety, our hope, our life, our peace. Let's fix our eyes on Him, who is unmovable, who's unchanging, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's remind ourselves that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And even though in our own world we see so much sifting sand and so much change, we fix our eyes on Him. And I just wanted to, again, don't think we need to say much, but just point out the difference. The difference. We see in verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest. So those who trust the Lord, they're going to be like Mount Zion. They cannot be moved. We see rather in verse 3, though, the scepter of wickedness, they shall not rest. On the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. And we see in verse 4, of course, this is not teaching that we are saved by anything good that we've done. It is talking about righteousness that we have received by Christ. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are right in heart. As for such as turn aside in their crooked ways. Again, you see this massive difference, these two separate roads. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. As those who turn aside in their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Brethren, I want to remind us that all of us who are in Christ, we are the Israel of God. God has one people. Peace be upon Israel. Brethren, that is a word for you. And you know, it could be on a Wednesday night that we've gathered and there's a people in our own life and the winds are blowing and the stress is here and there's a lack of calm in our own spirit. I would like to remind us of the beauty of Psalm 125. This might be a good medicine for your own heart and soul. It might be something you need to take home and meditate upon and read over and over again. You might want to confess that, Lord, I don't feel much like Mount Zion tonight. And so help me to be that kind of person that's unmovable because my feet are planted in the good gospel soil. And so I want to bear good fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want my life to be fruitful. And be reminded, brethren, the Psalms, these Psalms and the Psalms are meant to be sung and read and prayed over, meditated upon. There are all the Selahs in the Psalms. What's that mean? It is a time to stop and take notice and think and apply. So this might be one of those Psalms in this season of your life that would be good to, you know, stop and meditate upon. And to refocus and refix your eyes on Christ. And so, Father, we pray that we would all do that. We all need to do that all the time. And we're a gospel people, purchased by the blood of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, victorious, risen from the grave, ascended to the right hand of the Father, interceding now for His own. Help us to be reminded tonight that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not principalities, not powers, not anything happening in our culture, not anything happening in our own circles, our own neighborhoods, our own family life. Nothing. Nothing can separate us. And help us, Lord, to be mindful that the Lord surrounds us, that we are held in the hands of the triune God. And Lord, we pray that as we spend some time tonight praying together, that you bless our time of prayer. Lord, help us to be mindful that you love your sheep. You laid, our Savior Jesus laid down his life for sheep. You care for the needs of your sheep, every need of your sheep. Physical needs, spiritual needs, temporal needs, eternal needs, all our needs. You love us. You gave yourself for us. You care for us. You are the good shepherd. We follow after you, and you know every one of us. And so as we pray tonight, Lord, let us go to the throne of grace with boldness. And help us, we pray, Lord, to lift up our brothers and our sisters in our time of struggle. Help us, Lord, to take this time to hear each other and pray for each other. And we pray that we do so not just in this gathering tonight, but throughout the rest of this week. And help us, Lord, to be mindful of each other and our needs. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen.